Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Flex Cortex. Today, I am joined by Devin, and we actually know each other through ZS, which is Zach Spencer's business coaching. But he actually lives in Edmonton, and we've never met. But he's trained at gyms that I've also trained at, but we've still never run into each other. So, where do you live in the city?
Yeah, I live in the West End.
Okay, I live in Secord.
Oh, really? I live in Lewis Estates. We're like down the street from each other.
I live by the brew house. Like, I see the brew house from my place.
Oh, really? No way. Yeah, I'm like down the street by the golf course.
Oh, okay. Well, that's weird. We live really close.
Less than a kilometer.
Okay, well, there you go. We live like literally like in the same area in the West End. But yeah, you train at the Den.
That's correct.
I've seen your videos. Yeah. And it's a sweet facility. But Devin is a NASM CPT. He's been training for, he's actually in his first year of training, but he's under the wing now of Zach. And Zach's a G, so
yeah, I'm in good hands.
Good. Yeah, and you've been training for a while. You're pretty seasoned. I think you mentioned about 7 years, right? So
yeah, so like my 21st birthday is coming up in January here. So like I started super young, like when I was like 13, 14, kind of thing. Started dabbling in it, but yeah, it's been one of the best decisions I've ever made for sure. Just getting into training.
Well, thank you so much for making the time to come on, man. I'm looking forward to this conversation. And today we're going to talk about building sustainable habits, and I think the biggest component within this too is sustaining these things. Mm-hmm. So I think what a lot of people will do is they'll build these habits, but when it comes to actually doing them over a prolonged period of time, people tend to fall off. So we'll kick it off with just you giving us some backstory. So let's talk about when you go into training, why you go into training, and then what made you want to be a personal trainer.
Yeah, for sure. I'll try and keep it short and brief because 7 years is a lot of story to go over. But basically, I got into it because of football. Like, I was playing football when I switched from like martial arts. I did kung fu for a long time when I was like really young. I wanted to change, so I jumped into football. And I was always a bit of like a chubbier kid, I guess. Like, I wasn't overweight by any means, but I wasn't like skinny and athletic. So I started playing football, and they had me play as a lineman, right? So like one of the bigger guys, really physical. And my dream was to be like Odell Beckham Jr. I wanted to be a receiver. I wanted to be the guy like making plays. And when my coach told me that, like, no, like, you can't play that position. Like, we want you to play lineman. That, like, really, it was like a stab in the heart, almost. And that's kind of what, like, lit that fire in me to, like, okay, I need to change something. So I started, like, watching YouTube, and I started listening to podcasts, and, like, that's all I did in my free time. And my parents had always been into, I don't know if you ever heard of P90X.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so my parents, they had those videos. So I started doing those workouts, and then my uncle had a CrossFit gym going up too. So my parents would really get into that. They had this little CrossFit set up in the gym. So like after school every day, 7 o'clock, I'd be in there doing my own workouts, like just learning as I went with whatever minimal weights that I had. And I did that for about a year. And I like started doing a lot of running and everything too. Like my dream was like to be this receiver, right? Like that was my short-term dream that I had. So like I took a year off football, and then come high school, I wound up being on the high school football team playing a receiver, right? It was like a dream come true. But then after high school, like I wasn't good enough to play university or anything like that. I played for the Huskies for a little bit, but it was during COVID, so it was kind of all jumbled, right? So then I just started going to the gym a lot. And, you know, I was making money, I was working. Actually, I got into U of A for kinesiology, but I decided not to go that route because I wasn't absolutely certain that that's what I wanted to do. And I heard a lot of people that like get kinesiology degrees, they wind up like just being gym teachers, and they didn't really want that. But it was definitely a passion of mine. So I just pursued it in my free time, and I was working, so I had enough money to actually get my gym membership. So I moved out of my dad's garage finally after years, and I started going to the Chop Shop in Spruce Grove. I don't know if you've ever heard of that gym. It's a really great gym haven't. They've got like 3 locations now.
I grew up in Spruce.
Oh yeah, no way, me too. What high school did you go to?
SPA.
Okay, yeah, I went to the comp, SGCHS.
Yeah, no, I grew up in, so actually, yeah, like I knew Lucas when he just had the Stony location, so now he has the Spruce, and then he also has the Sherwood location. Yeah. It's weird that we're actually like, okay, that's weird.
Yeah, we've been funny. Like crossing paths, but not really. And Zach finally brought us together, which is cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was doing that for a long time and working and training. That was like my thing. I would work out, wake up at like 4:30 in the morning, go to the gym, go to work, come home, eat, rinse and repeat. And then I started up my Instagram just for fun. It was like a way for me to like keep my own progress. I would just like post my photos. It was a private account, didn't have many followers, right?
Yeah.
But I really started to find a passion for it, I guess, in a different sense, and not necessarily like the athletic sense, but more just the pursuit of it, right? The discipline that it took. Mm-hmm. And it really translated into like my work as well. Like, you know, I moved up really quick and I got lots of raises and promotions early on because I was so hardworking, and it was like such a standout thing for people my age that like the guys couldn't find, and they were like so impressed with it. But for me, it was natural, right? Because I'd been in the gym for so long, putting in all this work, like going to work and working a physical job, like in the trades. It was just easy for me. I just saw it as like another workout. I was like, hell yeah, I'll swing that sledgehammer all day, right? Like that's extra cardio for me, right? So that really that's one of the ways that I think like training in the gym really translates to other areas of your life, which we can get into later. But
yeah, of course.
Yeah. And then I decided to start up my Instagram about a year ago. I went like public and I was like, you know, like all these people have been coming to me with questions about training, like how I did this and that. And, you know, like I could probably do it. Like I've had a few friends, they asked me for workouts, and I even trained a buddy with me in high school in my dad's garage. He got pretty jacked. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just felt really rewarding to see like these other people building their dream based off of my knowledge and with my help. And I actually made a difference in their lives and their confidence. It was like so meaningful to me. It was like a meaning that I never found with like the trades or anything like that.
Yeah.
So that's why I decided to jump into the NASM program, just to the online program, because most of that course was already stuff that I knew, but I just wanted the credential behind me, right, to train clients professionally. So yeah, I started posting like actual workout stuff on my page, not just progress pictures, right? Just kind of dabbling around with it, see what I liked. And then finished my course, and I was building my website up, doing all the backend stuff really before I started like pushing out my offer, right? Because there's no point like offering someone coaching if you don't have everything built out to actually offer that mm-hmm. coaching, right? And then I wound up hiring Zach just to kind of boost my progress and figure out what I was doing wrong, because I know how to train clients. Like that's easy for me. I know what to do. I know how to insert things into their lifestyle, but the business aspect of it, marketing and like lead attraction, all that kind of stuff is a realm that I've never really dabbled in before. So
yeah, of course.
Yeah. And now we're here. So
yeah, no, I feel like there's a lot to unpack there, but we'll first talk about the business stuff super briefly. Mm-hmm. And I think when you are taking like any kind of official education regarding training, they don't really give you much on the business end.
No.
Like again, they'll train you with like the physical in-person stuff, coaching, cueing, spotting. They'll give you some periodization stuff to work with. They'll give you progressions, regressions, even like modalities mm-hmm. to use and everything too. And like the one-on-one coaching skills, but they don't really teach you like how to actually run your business.
Yeah.
Cause I think what they don't want to, I don't know if it's cause they don't want to genuinely encourage you to, but I think what they kind of sort of prep you for is like go into like a gym, like a commercial gym somewhere.
Yeah. I think it's definitely designed for like a Good Life trainer or a LA Fitness kind of thing, where you just go and get a job and work like a 9-to-5, not necessarily like the online space. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas like, obviously things have changed a lot. And mm-hmm. I think like the online coaching really blew up over COVID, right?
Yeah. 100%.
And now here we are. But yeah, no, I think you made a good route, because I know a lot of people that ended up doing the kin route, and a lot of them just ended up training still, like doing one-on-one training. And I'm not saying that that's obviously bad, because they do have the university education, but I mean, like you could do online certification and be training people too, right?
Yeah.
Or you don't have to do 4 years of education. And I think kinesiology has its place, or can have its place, if you are opting to specialize more. Like if you're like, okay, well, I want to go the athletic therapy route, or I want to go physio or chiro. And if you want to like go one of those avenues, but
yeah,
I think if you just want to be like a kinesiologist, like there's definitely other avenues you can go, like just getting some sort of more generalized like personal training cert.
100%. And you look at like the price point of like a university degree compared to like an online degree, you're paying, I don't even know how many thousands of dollars for 4 years of kinesiology, when I think my NASM course was on sale Black Friday or something like that. It was like $1,500 or $2,000 or something like that, which is a big difference, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I think, you know, I'm a person that would just attest to what you're doing post school is where you will learn the most.
Yeah.
Like obviously this schooling itself will lay the foundation, right? Which I'm sure we'll talk about heavily in detail today. Yeah. But like when it comes down to the actual training side of things and like figuring out like building on your skill set, like it's who you hire, it's courses that you do, it's the information you sponge up. Like that's really what makes you a good coach. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like the schooling is part of it, but I have seen people that have come out of U of A with a kinesiology like bachelor's that aren't very good trainers, but I've seen people that like did like an online certification that are exceptional trainers.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well this can't be fluke, right? This mm-hmm. has to be like, there has to be some novelty within this too. So I think that obviously like credentials and schooling are important, but I also think that again, like it depends on the person and what they're willing to do outside of their time to continuously kind of push that needle forward.
Yeah. I think a lot of the coaching too is like, the work you're actually doing with a client that you're getting like paid to do it's not even close to the amount of work that you have to put in either, right? Like if you don't have that drive to put in the work after hours, I suppose, and on the side, like people that don't have that drive and they only think that they're going to go work a good life and get these clients and work 9-to-5 and go home and be done, like that's as far as they're going to get, right? It takes a lot of extra work to do this online thing. So
because you're currently working another job, right? So what are you doing as like what's your full-time job? And then I guess we could ask like what stemmed the desire to want to be an online coach instead?
Yeah. So right out of high school, I started working for a renovation company and I was a third year carpenter as of like a few months ago. And then as of 6 months ago, I work for Streetside Developments. So I'm an assistant site superintendent. It's more like an administrative role. I oversee all the trades in single and multifamily home building. And it's a really good job, right? Like I'm on salary. It's like really good job security, things like that. I really enjoy it, but I don't get nearly the kind of reward that I do like for myself as I do coaching people and changing people's lives. Like I could build 100 houses and the most I get out of it is like the smile on the client's face when you hand over the keys, right? Whereas you train a client and you like totally change the course of their life and the confidence that they have and the things that they're able to do, it's so much more rewarding. And I kind of decided that I'm still going to work this full-time job until I'm like comfortable enough switching to online coaching full-time. It is something I want to do in the future just because it is so much more rewarding for me, but I still have bills to pay, right? Like I have a mortgage and things like that, right? So it's a difficult transition and it's going to like take a lot of work. Like I have to put in a lot of hours in this online coaching. Like all I do now is like I do my job and I come home and I do my second job, right? But it'll definitely be worth it in the long run. And I think the biggest thing is I want to do something meaningful with my life. I want to leave a legacy, really. And if I can do that through helping other people with the thing that I'm passionate about, I'll never really have to work another day in my life, so to speak, right?
Yeah, no, of course. I think a lot of people live their life in kind of like hypotheticals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they live their life thinking that like, I wish I could do that, or, oh man, I would kill that, do what you do. Like, or just being like, I wish I like liked my job. Right. And it's kind of sad, right? Cause when you think about it, a lot of people could be happy
mm-hmm.
and could be fulfilled in what they're doing, but it's a lot of fear, like driving that decision-making. Right. And like, don't get me wrong. Like there's obviously, there has to be the money component to it because, again, you have to pay your bills. But I do think that with time and work and mentorship and guidance and everything, you can do it. Like, you know, I know a lot of coaches that weren't initially in coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were doing something separate before, but they were able to pursue that passion and make it their like a full-time thing, or maybe like they've opened a facility or they've like massively grown their online following or presence, right? And it's just like, okay, well, it can happen. It's just a lot of people I think are a little bit scared and they don't want to like leave the nest and they don't want to take a chance because again, it is intimidating, right? If you're, it's like, it's obviously, it's different to have this pipe dream, but it's different to actually like follow through with it. And like you mentioned, like work your full-time job and then work some more and then plan for more work and like it's a hustle. So first I just want to say like I admire that for sure, because a lot of people would be living in that hypothetical situation and, you know, maybe waiting for the perfect time, but like there is no perfect time to make that switch, right?
No.
And if for you, like you've had that fulfillment from working with people too, then you're in the right field. Like you're doing the right thing, I think, right? And if it's all about like doing things that make you happy. Mm-hmm. And I think it's things that bring you peace. And if training is that for you, then you're in the right field and you're the right career choice.
Yeah, I think you see a lot of coaches go that route too, where it starts off as like a hobby, like they start going to the gym, then they get really passionate about it, and then they realize like what kind of opportunity is in front of them. And then if they're the kind of person that is able to go and pursue that, like it's just sky's the limit. But then you see other people where it's like the fear of uncertainty, right? Like there's no guarantee mm-hmm. that if you go and start your own business, then you're going to be successful, right? Like you could be, worst case scenario, bankrupt, right? Like you're taking a huge risk on yourself. And I think you have to look at it not as a fear of uncertainty, but a fear of, not necessarily a fear, I don't think, but almost like you have to let that fear fuel you and like use it as fuel to keep you going and be like, if I don't follow through on this, like this is going to happen, right? Instead of being afraid of the worst case scenario. And I've always yeah. tried to look at it like that, and it helps. But
oh, it's a good mindset to have, right? I think within this too, we like predictable outcomes, mm-hmm. right? I think people like that, and I will attest to that too, because I know for myself, like I like things that are predictable and I like things that I can foresee. And you can't foresee what's going to happen on a solo endeavor.
No.
Right. It's just, it's one of those things you can't predict. It's not like an itinerary for a trip
no.
where it's like, oh, I'm going to be here this day. Cause even then that'll have some variety or some variation too.
Yeah.
But like you mentioned, you have to still be willing to take that leap. And I think it comes down to choosing the hard, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, do you want to stay in a job where you don't like it? Cause that's also hard.
Yeah.
Or do you want to pursue something that's different, that will require a lot of work to get established, and maybe it'll be difficult, but is it more difficult than living the rest of your life at a job that you don't like?
Yeah. I think Chris Williamson has a good quote about this. I forget what he says exactly, but it's something along the lines of like, your situation is bad, but it's not bad enough for you to make a change, so you stay where you are. Whereas
yeah.
if it was a little bit worse, you'd almost be better off because it would push you to make that jump, right?
Everybody kind of needs like a bit of a rock bottom point
yeah,
to make
sure.
like any kind of substantial change. And I think that happens with just like some sort of traumatic event, whatever that may be for that person.
Mm-hmm.
But it creates a bit of a mindset shift where they're like, okay, this has to happen. And then action has to partake after that.
Yeah. And like humans are definitely creatures of habit too. So like if you're so used to like that the paycheck every 2 weeks and you're used to this routine, and like changing that, everything about it just feels wrong. Right. So that plays into it too.
Well, training's kind of volatile, right? Like, yeah. I mean, obviously you have some consistency eventually just based off of the clientele you're working with,
yeah.
but it is kind of volatile like the stock market
mm-hmm.
because again, like you don't necessarily get like a guaranteed biweekly paycheck.
No.
It's based around like when clients pay you and how long they're paying you for.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you have to believe in yourself. And I feel like that's like a big component that's often lacking for people is like this belief that you're going to be successful and this belief that you're offering a service people can actually like value and benefit from.
Yeah, that's one of the big things that I get from Zach is that belief. Like I didn't have a super strong belief in my ability to become an online coach, but he's the one that like really lit that fire under me and fired up that belief. And he was like, hey man, like look at all these people you've helped like for free. And like their lives are different because of it. Why can't you do that for more people? All it's going to take is just a little bit of work, right?
Yeah. And I think part of that too, like also just kind of comes hand in hand with experience and time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think just being as kind of green as you are in the field, and that's not like to say that's not a bad thing by any means either, but I do think that a lot of what you're feeling is just due to lack of actual experience. And the more experience you have, the more clients you work with, the more testimonials you have, the more you build onto your skill set, like asking for that money
yeah.
becomes significantly easier.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I'm looking forward to. But obviously yeah. it's only up from here, so I'm excited for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So I know you and I were chatting back and forth in the DMs, and you were mentioning that you have a big focus on mental health. And for me too, like I would say that like a big component of coaching is what they do outside of the gym, but also what's going on behind the scenes, right?
Yeah.
So when you first take somebody on, what are some things that you look for from like a lifestyle standpoint or from a, like, let's say even say like a mindset standpoint that you try to shift right off the bat?
I try to look at how they see themselves, not necessarily in the mirror, but how they think about themselves and how they carry themselves. Because when I first got into the gym, obviously I wasn't confident in my body, so I would walk around with like terrible posture, and I wouldn't talk to girls and everything like that through high school. And even when I got the body that I had at the end of high school, like I was peeled, like single digit body fat. I'm really proud of that physique, right? But when I think back, my mindset was not where it is today. Like that body didn't produce that mindset. So I try and look for signs of that in clients. And it's usually pretty easy to tell. You can talk, you just ask them like what they think about themselves and their belief in their ability to become this new person, like this A to B that they're trying to achieve. And just the words that they use and like the language, and maybe you see them in person, you can kind of tell what their, like I said, their posture, and just identifying that and then starting to work on that from the start, like building the body and the mindset at the same time so that they both go hand in hand instead of having to catch up with one like I had to.
So would you give somebody homework, or how would you begin to kind of shift that belief that they have?
Yeah, so shifting that belief, I would try and implement some habits like we're going to talk about that are like self-reinforcing, like that strengthen that belief and like break the beliefs that they have about themselves by like almost proving them wrong. So, you know, like things like journaling or meditation, things like that. Those are tools that I use early on and they really helped. And also just like pushing themselves outside of their comfort zone, whether it's like a social setting or even with friends, or even if they're just walking around the mall, like how do you carry yourself around in public during those other 23 hours of the day that you're not in the gym, right?
Yeah, no, it's good to, I think as a new coach or just as a coach in general, we tend to be really focused on the other things, or we tend to be focused on the nutrition right away. Yeah. We tend to be really focused on like the training, which again, like that's really important and a big part of what we do. But I do think that the mindset and the beliefs and everything aren't focused on enough. And I do think that with that lacking, it is hard to see any kind of substantial and sustainable change for most people.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's easy to understand why we focus on those things, right? Because they're physical and they're tangible, right? You can see them, you can see the progress in the mirror, you can feel your energy levels change. But unless you actually like dive deep and really think about it, it's hard to realize where your mindset is. It's easy to just let it go by the wayside and just kind of under the bridge, not really notice it until like you get too far down your physical journey, and all of a sudden like you're still lacking in the mindset. So
a lot of people will just try to like outwork that. They'll try to outwork a shitty mindset, and I'm like, that's not really how it works. Like they'll try to eat well and train hard through it, and I'm like, eventually it'll catch up to you. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
And you'll hit a point where you'll have to reevaluate, and you'll have to figure out, okay, well, these things need to change. And for myself to see progress going forward, I have to be more honed in on this. And I think a lot of it too is like, it's uncomfortable work. Yeah. Like for people to shift beliefs or shift their mindset or change how they view themselves, like a lot of people don't like sitting with themselves, and they don't like sitting with these beliefs that maybe are telling themselves, like these old narratives that they used to believe when they were younger, or these ways that they've begun to like identify themselves. Right. Yeah. And it can be a little bit like overwhelming. And I think that's why people tend to like avoid it, because they're just like, well, they don't want to actually spend time thinking about it. But you know, if you are feeling that uncomfortable with it, it probably means you should be spending more time with it and probably more frequently.
Yeah. I find a lot of people try and distract themselves too. Like they'll almost like, if they get time to relax, they almost just immediately start thinking about it. So they just like stay busy and just work and work and work. And then eventually like they start overtraining, like they're too tired, and then it just catches up with them and bites them in the butt. Right. So, and it's hard for people to, like you said, to reflect on those things, because it's almost like admitting to yourself that there's something that needs to change. Like there's something that's wrong, and admitting those things about yourself is really difficult. But it's like, it's absolutely necessary if you want to make any kind of growth, but it's a hard step to take.
Yeah. And it takes a certain level of self-awareness, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think a lot of people tend to not really have. I would say, like, I just spoke about this in another podcast, how a lot of people tend to live life on autopilot because we are very much in a society where we've been taught to disassociate constantly.
Yeah.
And we've been taught to constantly keep our mind busy. Mm-hmm. And how is that obvious? Man, social media, 100%. Yeah. You know, like TikTok, like 6-second videos, Instagram, you know, like the For You page, mm-hmm. like everything. Like it's all fighting for your attention all the time.
Yeah.
Right? Notifications, our watches, you know, like everything. It's ways to keep you out of the present moment and to keep you focused on like a task or on the future or the past, right? Thinking about like your to-do list or it's something that you forgot to do or that you haven't done yet. It's just like, it's like anything that they can do to pull you out of the moment that you're currently in.
Yeah. Well, when we're working with Zach, you have like a second and a half to 3 seconds to grab someone's attention and then like they're gone, right? Like if you don't do something special in those little amount of time, then you're not going to get their attention. And yeah, it's just crazy to think about how it's gotten to that. And I kind of watched it happen. I was in like the perfect time when like TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram like all started to really take off when I was in like junior high and high school.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting to see like the way I grew up versus the way my brother grew up. He's 5 years younger than me, right? So he's like the other end of that cusp, and his life and his habits and everything are totally different than mine when I was his age. So.
Yeah. No, it's crazy to see like how societally and just like also just like from an age standpoint, like what we grew up with versus like some people that are maybe in their 30s now, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, Facebook might have just been getting introduced then for them, mm-hmm. right? But for us, like we grew up in a time where like, yeah, like there's Instagram, there's TikTok, there's like everything, right? And even for like your brother, like imagine just like what he's growing up with. Yeah. Like he's growing up with a lot of great things, but also a lot of things that he's going to have to like navigate and try to work through.
Yeah. And he's going to have different challenges than I did too. So like I can help him as much as I can, but at the same time, like he grew up in a totally different world than I did. He says stuff to me nowadays, like sayings and things like that. I have no idea what he means, and it makes me feel old. But when you think about
how old are you?
I'm 20 and he's turning 16. His 16th birthday is tomorrow. So.
Okay. Yeah. I'm 27.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, just wait, you'll feel yeah. older as more time passes.
Yeah. It feels like time's just been like going faster and faster and faster since I got out of high school.
Yeah. And that's another reason why you should do something that you like doing.
Yeah.
Because time goes regardless. Imagine if that time was passing like that too, and you were doing something that you hated doing.
Yeah. Time is like the most valuable currency, man. The best time to start was probably yesterday, but the second best time to start is today. So
yeah, if anybody can get one thing from this podcast, is write that down. Yeah. That's like the most, time is a finite resource. Yeah. And like the way that I've seen time too, like recently, is like the time will pass regardless. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of what are you willing to do with the time that you have at hand? Like, are you willing to do the things that need to be done, or are you just wanting to let time pass idly and then wish that things were happening and further push back action?
Yeah.
So let's get into the habit stuff. Yeah. I think that's going to be fun. So for me, I've been introducing a lot of habit-based stuff into like my check-in process with people. And also like I've been utilizing daily habits more. So what's your take on that stuff? What do you feel like people generally see the most success with? Like, let's say somebody that's like relatively new, because sometimes like these habits can be quite overwhelming and they could be a little bit, deterring, right? For somebody that is new, then mm-hmm. they lack the experience, but they're also trying to change their diet. They're trying to get up earlier or go to bed later or work out at a obscene time to go to the gym. Yeah. So what are some things that you use that you've seen success with?
Yeah, I think it's with habits, it's important to go slow and introduce one or two things at a time and not try to just slap everything on their plate all at once. So definitely like when we're talking about like the physical versus the mental aspects, I think it's important to do both of those at the same time. So obviously it's going to be like client specific, right? Every client's going to have a different situation. But first and foremost, like getting to the gym, right? Like some people, they have trouble even going to the gym, like getting up off their butt and going to the gym. So what I like to do, like for myself, I work out early in the morning. I get it done before I go to work. It's when I have the most energy. I tried working out after work. It doesn't work for me. I don't have the energy. And it's because it's such a big priority of mine, I want it to be ahead before I do anything else in the day, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So if that works for the client of waking up early and going to the gym, I really try and encourage that And then it like just solidifies that sleep schedule and everything too, like getting to bed on a good time, waking up, being on a good sleep schedule throughout the whole week, getting that circadian rhythm in check. But yeah, I think there's, for people that struggle to like implement habits, like for some people, it's really easy to just decide like, okay, I'm going to go to the gym at this time every day or 5 days a week or whatever it is. But for other people, it's, that's a very daunting task. So finding tactics to like promote that are almost like less significant. So a good example is like packing a gym bag the night before so that it's ready to go in the morning. Mm-hmm. So it's like less effort for them in the morning to get up and go to the gym, right? Everything's ready. So if we can turn the big action of going to the gym and getting a workout in into that small action of just setting out the gym clothes in the morning or packing the bag or whatever it is, then they just think, all they have to think about is picking up that bag and going to the gym. Right. It's not necessarily this huge daunting task of going for an hour and lifting, doing this many sets and reps and all that. Right. So I think breaking it down into smaller, more digestible pieces is super important with any kind of habit, not just the gym, but.
Yeah. I think people try to go kind of like from 0 to 100 real quick. And I do think that that is what often will cause people to derail.
Yeah.
They'll like start off with like not going at all. And then they'll be like, I want to go 5 times a week. And I also want to be like cleaning up my diet and also drinking like 4 liters of water and then like not drinking anymore. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, I can't do any of this. Yeah. And then they're like, this sucks. And then they stop. So I think that like there's a lot of value within what you're saying, because I think a lot of people could like take a lot from that too and realize that this is like the slow game. Mm-hmm. Like this takes time. Like with any new hobby or like any new thing you're taking on, you're not going to become a pro overnight.
No. And I think
like you have to like,
it's really,
you go.
Sorry. It's really indicative. Like you said, the society that we're in, everybody wants to see that final result. So they're like, if I just do this, 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 and this every day, then it'll get me to this result faster. But in reality, that's not sustainable and it's not going to last. So like when I think about my journey, I didn't start going to the gym 6 days a week and eating super clean and drinking all this water all at once. Like I was learning as I went and I was like, okay, like I'm going to do this kind of workout. I'm going to work out like 4 times a week. I do that and I didn't really change my diet, right? And a couple months went by and I'm like, I'm not really seeing the progress that I want. Like what else do I need to fix? Then it was the diet, right? And then it was the sleep. It wasn't like all this boom all at once, right? It's easy as a coach to just give them all this information and be like, here, this is what you need to do with it. But if you look at their lifestyle and like where it is right now and where it needs to be for them to get where they want to be, it's not just like A to B. It's not just going to happen overnight. You have to slowly take steps to get there. So getting people to realize like these guys you see on social media, like it didn't happen for them overnight in a year, 2 years, right? Like this is, you got to play the long game. So if you want this to be sustainable, you have to build these habits up over time and get used to them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I think within all this too, right? It's about doing things slowly, but it's also about like adding things in gradually.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't start removing things too fast. I think people's like, what they'll do is they'll add a bunch and then they'll remove a lot at the same time.
Yeah.
And it kind of almost like rips the floor under from underneath you.
Yeah.
Because you're almost just like, okay, well, like you have these things that provide you with some stability, right? And then these new things are giving you a little bit of friction already.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have things that are familiar and you're also adding things that already give you extra friction, it's like, okay, well, you're already at a point where you feel like you're doing everything wrong and you're bad at everything. And there's no time to build up confidence or momentum, right? We need to get to a point where we're snowballing things. We're creating a good treadway, good traction. And that individual feels like they're building some confidence. Like that's like you mentioned before, it's like, maybe you start off with going to the gym. Maybe your goal is to go to the gym 5 times a week, but you start off with like 2.
Yeah.
You know, because like, again, lots of people still have a full-time job. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, well, like what can they do now that can like allow them to feel good? And like, you know, maybe once they've been sustaining that for a couple weeks, then they want to add a day, right?
Yeah.
And then from there, it's like, okay, well, they feel good because they've been going 3 times a week already. It's not like they want to go from 0 to 5. And then when they're not hitting 5, they're like going through a midlife crisis because they're not hitting 5 days a week.
Yeah. 5 is like the end goal, not the immediate goal. You gotta set steps to get there, right?
Yeah. And I think it's about setting yourself up for success too. Mm-hmm. So that's why I love the example you gave there about the gym bag, right? Cause like I myself, am also a morning workout guy, and I wasn't for a long time. Like before, oh man, if you asked me to go to the gym at 6 in the morning, I'd be like,
yeah,
oh, fuck off. But now, like, because again, like you said, it just works better for my schedule, right? Like if I'm to go in the morning, I take care of myself first. like, I am my first client. I'm prioritizing me and my health first. And then you go deal with your stuff. But like for you, it's like you have your job after. It's like you still have to work your full job. So it makes sense as to why you would do it then versus like trying to push it till after work. And then like, if something happens, or like, let's say like energy wise, you're just not there and you're missing your session. But if you go in the morning, it's like, okay, well, you're starting off your day on a good note. You're going, taking care of yourself, and you're like, you're putting things in motion, which is good.
Yeah. I found it was a total shift for me. Like, I used to try and go after work because that's like when I had the most time in the day. Right. But that was just limited by like my sleep schedule, like waste when I was waking up, when I was going to sleep. Like the amount of time you have in a day is really only dependent on when you're sleeping. So if you just wake up earlier and go to bed earlier, then you're just shifting everything. So I think it was really useful for me to do that, but it took probably a good 2 to 3 weeks before I actually got used to it, right? Like the first few weeks were pretty grueling, waking up at 4 o'clock to go to the gym. It wasn't fun, but it was totally worth it in the long run.
Yeah, just get a good pre-workout. You'll be okay.
Yeah, I stopped doing pre-workout. I didn't like it. It was too much for me.
But, okay, so that or coffee, whatever you
want. Oh, I'm a big coffee guy,
Just, again, like, I think it's just people tend to overcomplicate it a lot, and they tend to want to be a pro overnight. Mm-hmm. And I think it's this society that we're in, right? We live in a society where if you want to buy something, you could have it at your doorstep tomorrow.
Yeah, you don't even have to have the money.
Right? No, so we live in a society where there is no delaying gratification. Mm-hmm. So I think to have to learn that, for a lot of people, it's challenging.
Yeah.
Right? To get to a point where you're like, this is going to take not only months, but years?
Yeah. And then
it's like,
You think about people that, like, they don't even ever think years in the future, like maybe 1 year, right? Like, we're so short-minded nowadays that delayed gratification is such a rare quality to have. If you can implement that into your gym life, like your fitness journey, that translates so well to other areas of life because it'll set you up for success everywhere else, like it did for me in the trades, right? Like that delayed gratification that I learned all through high school with my physique, like that's the reason I was so successful in other areas of my life, like getting a good job in the trades. And then I bought a condo when I was 19 years old. Like that's delayed gratification, right? Like I had to like consistently put in that work and save that money in order to get this big outcome that I wanted in the future. And I think that's just such a rare quality for people to have nowadays that it's even more beneficial because it's so rare.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are definitely not outcome focused enough, but on the opposite end of that too, I do think that people could be too outcome focused.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think you kind of have to find that middle ground where like you are still thinking about like this future version of you. Mm-hmm. Like you're thinking about, okay, well, like this is for like this future version of myself, but at the same time still embracing and accepting the process.
Yeah.
And like being okay with the process of it, because that is like delaying gratification, right? Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to be in the present and be aware and like enjoy things as they happen, but still be mindful of the future. Like not get obsessed with the future and only do things in light of that, but still have it like in the back of your mind and like be kind of slowly working towards that.
Yeah, no, I have a client, and he'll remain anonymous for sake of the podcast, but we were just talking recently, and he's taking on a bunch of new stuff. So he's taking on some mindset coaching, and he already works full time. He has 2 kids. So he's already like a pretty busy guy. And then now he's taking on this new endeavor. So lately him and I have been talking a lot back and forth, and he's like, how do you balance all of this stuff? He's like, how do you, you know, do the podcast, how do you deal with your clients, media, and everything, and then also like nutrition coaching, et cetera, et cetera. And him and I had to have a good talk about being focused on just trying to be like 1% better every day. Because him and I had like a good talk about that, about like, hey, like all I think about really when it comes down to it is like I look at my stuff that I need to do, like the non-negotiables, right? Yeah. But it's also like, am I being 1% better today than I was yesterday? And also, when I rest my head on the pillow at night, would future me look at today as a success?
Yeah.
Right? Like that's all I really look for. It's like, if I think about like a day overall, can I rest my head easy that I did something or multiple things that I had my future self in mind? Mm-hmm. Because like, obviously this isn't the gold standard, but in moments where your life could feel like it's chaotic or it's kind of in shambles, and you almost feel like you're doing a lot of new things, you're overwhelmed because you haven't feel like you've developed a good enough skill level, any of these things yet, you still have to focus on, okay, well, these things are getting me towards this goal. I just have to believe that it is, because these are things that are challenging, are hard, but are for my present self, but also are for this future version of myself too, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I think being able to take comfort in the fact that the things you did during the day were beneficial and were worthwhile, even if you didn't see the results right away, right? Like a lot of habits and stuff that we implement through coaching, I'm sure both of us do similar kinds of things with our clients, but those things, they don't really turn out results immediately. It's that compound over time, but you have to be able to be present and take comfort in the fact that the things that you did today are going to turn out good results if you continue to do them day after day, right? And you won't realize that until you're able to look back over time and see where you were and where you've gotten.
Yeah, no, for sure. So if you, like, let's say, obviously we're talking about, again, clients that are doing the thing, mm-hmm. right? If you had a client that wasn't doing the thing, let's say they're having trouble implementing new habits into their routine and they're having trouble adhering to these things, what would be the approach that you would take with that?
I think we have to look at like how they're implementing it. So let's take journaling, for example. I think we both journal in the mornings and stuff like that, so it's a good example. If you're just going to say that I'm going to journal every single morning, like that's not specific enough. It needs a time, it needs a place, right? And it needs cues. When you look at habits, it's like you need the cue, the response, the reward, right? So if we can implement that into what they already have in their routine, like you said before, like keeping those things that they still do without changing too much. So say you brush your teeth in the morning, it's like that should be the cue. After I brush my teeth, I'm going to go journal every morning. And if you associate that with a place too, like a specific spot on the couch, it's a lot easier to implement those things and sustain them over time. So now it's not just I'm going to journal every morning. It's after I brush my teeth in the morning, I'm going to grab my journal, I'm going to sit in this spot, and I'm going to journal. This is the spot that I journal in. So, and then also associating it with a little bit of belief too. It's not like I want to journal every morning. It should be I am the type of person that journals every morning. It becomes a part of your identity, right? Instead of just something that you do, it's like I am the type of person that does X, Y, Z.
Man, I can attest to that for sure. I used to be the kind of person that didn't like reading. And it's so funny because for a long time I was like, I'm not a reader. I don't like reading. Reading is not for me. I don't like books. And then it was funny, like within like a moment recently, I was like, oh, I see what I'm doing here. I'm identifying myself as not a reader, yeah. Therefore believing that I'm not a reader. So what if I tried shifting the mindset to thinking, why couldn't I be? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, crazy, I started enjoying reading.
Yeah. It's definitely,
but it's just like, it's a
if you don't have someone in your back pocket that's like teaching you these things and like making you aware of them, it's easy to just stick with those beliefs and be like, yeah, I don't like reading. But if you have someone telling you, be like, hey man, like, are you sure you don't like reading? Or you just believe that you're someone that doesn't like reading? Like maybe if we found a book that like you liked and like it was, maybe it's like a business book or something like that, like you and I read. It's like, well, this is going to the better use. So maybe you don't like reading Lord of the Rings, but I'm sure you'd like reading Atomic Habits. Because it's going to be beneficial for you, right?
Yeah. I think it's also, too, like you mentioned before, it's just a matter of finding things that you genuinely enjoy. But I think also, like, the support network is really important. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's important to have somebody, like, in your corner that is helping you realize what areas you need to actually work on. And this could be present in, like, a mentorship position or I'd say a coach is a mentor too, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Having somebody that understands you, that knows you, that's able to be a little bit like transparent with you and be like, hey, like this is kind of what I'm seeing to be an issue. And I spoke on this with a podcast, I think it was with Fernie, and we were talking about how sometimes people need a little bit of like the cold truth. And like sometimes it's a way of like you're trying to almost like compliment sandwich it. You're trying to put it in a way where it's like not too direct, mm-hmm. but like again, like sometimes people need direct, and I'm not saying be stone cold, mm-hmm. but I am saying sometimes it's just a matter of being like, hey, like you're self-sabotaging here. This is a repetitive behavior that I am seeing. And like, this is what I suggest we do.
Yeah.
And like, if you just beat around the bush and you're like, oh, like, how about, you know, you just try again. It's okay. It'll be fine. It's like, well, that probably isn't the issue or the solution. It's just like, that's a band-aid approach. It's like throwing a duct tape on a barrel that's leaking water. It's like, it's like eventually it's just going to keep leaking water. It's like, wait, let's figure out
how to fix the barrel.
How can we get a new barrel?
Yeah.
How can we get a new barrel or fix the barrel? It's like, well, let's fix the actual solution. Like, let's fix the problem at hand and provide actionable steps that could work somebody towards the actual solution.
Yeah. I think when you talk about like having to be cold turkey, sometimes you'll definitely be able to tell like which kind of client needs that and which ones don't. I definitely think guys are more like that. They need the cold turkey approach. Like, they need someone to be like, hey man, like, this is not cool. Like, what you're doing right now is not going to benefit you in the future. And like, you're just derailing everything that you're trying to do right now. So like, what the heck? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Men are more logical. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's generally why men are more receptive to that, because like, that's a very logical, actionable item.
Mm-hmm.
Where I feel like, not with all women, but with some women, you have to take a little bit more of like a graceful approach and trying to word it in a way where it comes more from like a place of compassion and empathy,
mm-hmm.
and like a place of like understanding where they're at, versus just being like, do this better. whereas like with guys, like you said, like most of the time guys are very like, they receive that well,
mm-hmm.
because like they like things that are a little bit more blunt, direct. Not every guy, obviously, no. But I feel like you kind of learn to gauge that as you build rapport with somebody too.
Yeah.
And as you've been working with somebody long enough, you kind of figure out like which things slide, which things don't.
Yeah.
And you kind of gauge like the conversation and like the regular dialogue you guys converse with back and forth. And that goes in nicely to like what kind of coaching you would partake with this person. Because like, I have some clients that need that. Like, they definitely need like the, hey dude, don't do that. But then I have some clients where it's like, I would not be able to do that. I'd have to like think about some very strategic strategy where I'm just like, yeah. I'm providing some comfort first, and then it's compassion and understanding. But again, like that's okay,
mm-hmm.
right? It's just a matter of like, is somebody a little bit more emotionally driven or somebody a little bit more like logical?
Yeah, I think definitely like generally like guys make decisions based on like logic and things like that, and women are more emotional decision makers, right? And there's pros and cons to both, but being able to differentiate between people is super important.
I think a really important thing that I've learned, and I've discussed it lots on podcasts, is that like when like, you know, when emotion is high, logic is not.
Yeah.
So, you know, like again, there is a time and place for being logical and strategic, right? But I do think that within that too, you kind of have to have that fine line of also being a little bit emotional, or at least having the emotional capacity or an intelligence to actually yeah. understand that there is nuance and complexity to these things, and that sometimes you can't just like logic your way through something.
No.
Because like, it depends on the circumstance, right? Like if somebody's like going through a breakup or like a divorce, it's just like, you can't just logic your way through that.
Oh,
like,
it
doesn't
matter
how many times,
yeah.
doesn't matter how many times you tell your client, like, it'll be okay, dude. Like, doesn't matter, like it doesn't make the heartbreak yeah. hurt any less. Like, it's like you still have to let them like process it and understand it. And like, maybe the approach there is being a little bit more like empathetic and compassionate and like trying to be like a little bit more supportive yeah. versus being like, hey dude, that sucks, but like, do your chest day tomorrow. It's like
yeah, I think when it comes to like emotional situations like that, instead of like the firm hand, the cold turkey approach, it's almost better to ask open-ended questions and have them realize it themselves, right? Like being like, hey man, like, is this really what you should be doing right now? Like, is this, like, do you think that this is beneficial, right? Like getting them to yes. realize that instead of just yeah. the cold turkey approach.
It's way different having somebody come to that realization on their own
mm-hmm.
through good questions versus you telling them what needs to happen.
Yeah, it's like questions that you already know the answer to, but you want them to tell you the answer.
Yeah, and I think like another good thing to tackle onto this too is if somebody is in a place where like emotionally distressed or a place where there's a lot of change in their life, I do think that's a great time to kind of like re-goal set.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do think that that's a good approach to take where it's like, okay, you know, I know this was your goal before, but considering circumstances, like, what are some things that we could probably like realistically be doing right now? Because like, some people, what they'll do is they'll try to lean on that even harder, and then they'll get frustrated because they're not able to like work towards their goal. But it's like, sometimes it's just a matter of like creating more awareness and being like, well, right now your life is like upside down. Like right now, like this is new, this is changing. So let's give yourself a little bit of grace, right? First of all, but understand, okay, well, like what should we be doing now that could still help you and serve you versus us trying to do all of these things poorly?
Yeah. I think like goals aren't set in stone, right? They're just a framework to get you to a general idea of where you want to be. Like if I think back like 7 years ago, like my goal wasn't to be a coach, right? I never would have known. It just kind of happened along the way. So being able to still navigate those goals as they change and like keep implementing things when that direction changes is super important. And having someone in your back pocket that's like already gone through that journey. Like when we talk about like the ideal client, it's like a past version of yourself, right? So you can see those changes in that person. And if you already have those experiences, it's really easy to be like, hey, like we should probably start doing this now. This is where this is going. Then I think that these are the new goals that we should have. And like, what are some goals that you think you have now? Like these goals aren't set in stone.
Yeah. It's being willing to kind of go with the flow a little bit, I think. Right. And not being too dead set on things. So I think like you mentioned, like things will change. And even too, like once you reach a point where you have accomplished or achieved a certain goal too, like that's where people tend to almost sometimes fall off as well. Mm-hmm. Like they'll get to a point where they reach a weight loss goal or they reach a body comp goal and they're like, I should be happier. Right. Yeah. But then often what happens from that is they'll fall off or they'll stop, but it's a matter of like, okay, well like let's re-goal set. Let's figure out like what aligns with you now. Mm-hmm. What things you want to actually work towards and accomplish, and like let's build on that versus letting things fall off because we're at a place where maybe motivation has dropped off a bit because the external fire or the internal fire is gone.
Yeah, and that fire goes out when you've reached that goal, which is why it's really important to set goals on specific timelines that are different, right? Like you got like 1 month goals, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 5 year, right? And being able to have something to keep working towards. And that also ties into the fact where it's like, then the client isn't just only thinking about their 1 year, 5 year goal, right? Because that's really hard, really easy to get overwhelmed with and be like, oh man, it's like, it's going to take this so much work and it's going to be like so long until I get there. But being able to like focus on little things along the way that are going to eventually get you to that big term goal is super important, like process goals.
Yeah. I think that's one thing that tends to lack in the beginning anyways, or at least like I'd say through the process too, is people will have a big goal set, but they won't have goals along the way. Right. And I was talking about this on another podcast as well, where it's like, it's good to have a goal of like almost like weekly where it's like, okay, well, I just want to be down like a pound this week.
Yeah.
And then that compounds, right? Because then that's all of a sudden it's like, well, that's already 4 pounds a month. Mm-hmm. And like, let's say the goal is like 25 pounds in like 6 months. And it's like, okay, well, like this is how we actually get there. It's like you're laying out that roadmap and it's like, okay, this is actually how you're going to actually pave this path, walk the path and actually get to like point A to point B.
Yeah. And being able to track those things without like being able to see the progress is super important too. Like even if we're just talking about like daily tasks, like don't have a super big impact on the day-to-day, I find it's really good to have some way to track those. A really good example of this is like, say you have like an empty jar, and then you, every day you complete the habit, you put a little marble into that jar. It's like a visual cue to like keep track of your progress. And then over time you can see those marbles stack up and it's like a representation of how far you've gotten A to B. And it like when it's something small that you don't see those impacts every day, it's really good to visualize those things and being able to have some kind of physical tangible evidence that you've been successful in this endeavor. And then it's also like it gives you confidence being like, I was able to do this every day for this many days. And it's like kind of fires up that belief in their ability to accomplish big things and not be so short-minded.
Yeah, I think that ties in nicely too to like knowing if a client is very extrinsically driven or like intrinsically driven. Mm-hmm. Like it's good to know like if this person is extrinsically driven to the point where they feel like they have to be getting some sort of affirmation from things externally.
Yeah.
But you know, it gets to a point where you have to be able to like intrinsically give yourself that and realize that like, okay, like I am proud of like myself, because it'll only last so long where like you can get things externally. But then it gets to a point where you realize, okay, well, I'm doing these things for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And then that's when people tend to fall off, is when they realize that they don't have like a strong belief or why.
Mm-hmm. Or that why because, has been like, completed. Yeah.
Yeah. And that happens a lot, right? Where people will like, then again, they'll get to their goal, whatever it may be. And you hear it happen a lot with like, well, air quote, super successful people, right? Like what they do is they'll get towards their goal and they'll be like, oh my God, you know, like I'm finally here. And then they get there and they're like, well, why am I not happy? And it'll almost be like a moment where it's like, well, at what cost, right? Mm-hmm. Like it cost me this to get here, but I am here. And it's a matter of figuring, okay, well, like, was it worth it?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, it's beginning to also love and enjoy the process of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, From a success standpoint, it's like enjoying the new hobbies you're taking on, enjoying the new endeavors that you're doing, like enjoying that beginner feeling, because that's not, you're not going to have that forever too, right? And it's like enjoying those moments where you like, you crush something for the first time, or you feel like you're like getting some forward like momentum too. And it's like, it's finding joy in that and not just being too focused on like where you envision yourself. Because like for myself personally, like I've been doing this for a long time, but I've definitely been a person where like I've been definitely very, very outcome focused. And I've thought about where I want to be and where I envision myself being. And like, I've almost sometimes had that be a thing where it deters me and it makes me feel worse about where I've been right now or where I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that should inspire you. That shouldn't deter you.
No.
Right. And I think that it's important to differentiate those two things and understand that like, the goal is there to kind of like give you a target.
Mm-hmm.
It's there to like give you an idea of where you're going and how to get there, but it shouldn't be this thing that's like almost like, it shouldn't feel unreachable.
Yeah. And it shouldn't feel life consuming either.
Yeah. And I just actually like, it's funny. We just talked about that too, because I just did a podcast before this about like talking about myself. Yeah. And I talked about like how important it is to not like lose your identity and yourself within whatever you're doing, mm-hmm. whether it being starting a business, whether it being, getting into the gym, right? It's something that you're doing, but not something that you are.
Yeah. It's a part of who you are. It's not the entire component of who you are.
Yeah. There's a lot of layers to it.
Oh yeah, but for sure.
To wrap it up, if somebody was really struggling with building these habits and getting the ball rolling and they're getting frustrated, what would be a couple pieces of advice that you'd give them? Let's say like it was an old version of yourself, right? If an old version of Devin came up to you and was like, hey man, I'm having trouble like sticking to this routine, what would you give him advice for?
I'd say break it down. Like if it's got multiple components to it, like break it down, figure out one thing that you know you can stick to and just do that for a while, right? And then stack things on top of that. Like take it slow. Don't get overwhelmed with the big picture and where you want to be. Just like be proud of yourself for putting in the work and doing this thing consistently and keep building on that, because it's going to take time and you have lots of time. And if you're doing good things with your time, then you can't be mad about wasting it.
I'd agree. No, thank you so much, man. This is wonderful.
Yeah, thank you, man. This is awesome.
If people want to follow you on the media and see what you're up to and see, again, he posts a lot of great content. So if people want to follow you, Where can they do that?
Yeah, so you can check out my Instagram. It's dev.lifts_, or you can go and check out my website, wildcoaching.ca. It's got all my links on there to all my social channels. So
awesome, man. You're a hustler. Love to see it. And I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, for sure. We're definitely going to meet up in person too, because we live so close.
Yeah, now that I know that you pretty much are like my neighbor. So. Yeah,
that's crazy. All right, thanks, man. I really appreciate this. This was a lot of fun.
No problem.